And I thank all of you for being here. I know we have a couple out sick, and pray that they'll be back next week. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 9. We're going to talk this morning about the tale of two Sauls. The tale of two Sauls. 1 Samuel chapter 9. While you're turning your Bibles, let me say that the first king of the United Kingdom of the children of Israel was Saul. When we were first introduced to Saul in 1 Samuel 9 and verse 2, we're told that he was a choice young man and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. So in addition to his outstanding features, Saul early on showed himself to be a man of humble spirit. When Samuel said to him in verse 20 of 1 Samuel 9, "And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house?" Saul answered by saying in verse 21, "Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me?" Now after being anointed by Samuel and recognized as the king of the people, the early days of Saul's reign, which lasted for 40 years, were characterized by triumphs and successes. But it did not take very long before Saul began to manifest a different spirit altogether. The life of King Saul was summed up rather well by the prophet Samuel upon Saul's return from the slaughter of the Amalekites. Samuel said that the rebellion and stubbornness were the sins of Saul, and these were the expressions of his having rejected the word of the Lord. Now many times in his life, this once humble man would be guilty of rejecting the word of the Lord. He would be guilty of simply choosing to do things his own way, even when his own way is clearly a violation of God's. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel 13. And we'll read the first 14 verses. First Samuel 13. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 there were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that were in Gibeah, and the Philistines heard it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistines, and the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in the multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over to Jordan, the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offering." And he offered a burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end to offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" and sawest it, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Now turn on over to 1 Samuel 15th chapter, if you would. Now Saul's climaxing act of rebellion against Jehovah is found in 1 Samuel 15. For this he would ultimately be dethroned as king. So let's see the instructions, verse 1 through 3. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came upon Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep and camel and ass. That sounds clear enough, doesn't it? Sounds pretty clear to me. I don't think it's hard to understand. But let's look at verses 8 and 9 now. They said he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroyed. So what was God's reaction to this? What was his reaction? Well, verse 11 tells us, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Now I want to read to you what I consider one of the saddest passages of Scripture that there is, verses 13 through 26 of 1 Samuel 15. It says, beginning in verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, stay on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, the sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voices. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto the Lord, to Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. So why did all this happen? Well, because Saul chose to disobey the commandments of the Lord. That's why it happened. Oh, he was still religious. They were going to take the very best from the Amalekites and offer them to Jehovah. But that is not what Jehovah had asked for. Are you listening, my friends? Are you listening? Are you listening on the website? Are you listening? What matters in religion is what the Lord has said and what he has authorized. Not what we want, no matter how religious and pious we might think it is. To obey is better than to sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of the rams. To disobey or simply do what we want to do religiously instead of what the Lord has authorized is to reject the Lord, reject his word, and will lead to our being rejected as well. Does this remind you of anything? Does it remind you of the Sermon on the Mount at Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23? Let's read that, please. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus said, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Listen now. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So what's just happening here? Well, Jesus here is denouncing doing anything religiously without his order, with his authority. And I mean anything without his authority, no matter how small. I've had people tell me, you're going to tell me that we're going to hell because we got an organ in our church? I'm not going to tell you you're going to hell, but I'm going to tell you one thing. That organ in the music, in our music study, is not authorized. You don't need it. Our Lord goes on to say in Luke 16th chapter, look with me. Luke 16, verse 15. And he said to them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. God knows our hearts, brethren. He knows our hearts. And he knows the things we do which is not authorized is an abomination in his sight. Saul's life can be compared to another Saul of the Bible. Saul of Tarsus, later called Paul. First, both of them were of the tribe of Benjamin. Remember Paul's word in Romans 11 and verse 1? Let's see what he says there. Romans 11 and verse 1. Paul says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So they're both from the tribe of Benjamin. And they both were chosen by Jehovah for a special work. Saul to be king over Israel, Paul to be apostle to the Gentiles. To Ananias, the Lord said in verse 15 of Acts 9, Go thy way, for he is chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Later, Paul himself would write in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 11, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher to the Gentiles." Another point of comparison is how they lived, their lives were led. Saul was consumed by jealousy towards David and in rebellion against Jehovah by rejecting his word. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, if you would. Now, Paul's life was spent in verse 14 of Philippians 3. In pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's how his life was spent. Look with me back again, if you would, to 1 Samuel 26 and verse 21. 1 Samuel 26 and verse 21. Here we see a clear and brief statement of Saul's life. The last part of the verse says, "Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." I say, amen. Saul, you sure did. And Paul's summarization of his life, life's work is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We all know this, but I want us to look at it together. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8. Second Timothy 4, beginning verse 6, he wrote, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul knew he was going to die, and he was not afraid. He goes on to say, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Why did you do that, Paul? Because he knew what awaited him, and he tells us in verse 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Brethren, if your life was to end today, what would be the summarizing statement concerning your service to God? Would it be, "I have played the fool," or "there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness"? When you die, what will you leave behind? Paul says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, "They brought nothing into this world, and certain we can carry nothing out." If this is true, then why do so many people get all wrapped up in possessions? The Lord asked in Matthew 16, 26, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Think about it. What would you have if you gained the whole world? What would you have if you gained it? Whatever it is, it will not endure when the judgment is passed. I can guarantee you that. What would you give in exchange for your soul? Well, let me tell you, whatever it might be, this is one transaction you will eternally regret. Judas sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. Many today will sell out for far less. Some will sell their souls for a few more minutes of sleep on Sunday morning, or another hour of TV on Saturday night. Listen now. What will your friends think when they read your obituary in the paper? What will they think? "Is that the same person I knew?" Will they be surprised to find out that you were a Christian? Will the reputation of the Lord's church be harmed? How will you be remembered in death? All of us need to think about that. Now is the time to obey God and walk by faith in His Word. For some, this means obeying the gospel and becoming a Christian, as seen on the day of Pentecost when Peter told the multitude that they had crucified the Son of God. He said in Acts 2:38, he told them what to do to be saved. He said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." for others. It means repenting of sin and confessing. Remember, David said, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. To ignore God's word and act like his blessings will always be available to sinners is to believe a lie. Jesus gave us insight into the condition of those in torment to convince us to repent. I don't know whether you know or not, but Jesus talked about hell more than anybody in the Bible. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 2. Jesus wants us to know that in verse 6 of Romans 2, he wants us to know that he will render to each one according to his deeds on the day of judgment, which will result in verse 7, eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. And he goes on to say in verse 8, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, and verse 9, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. That's what hell will be. So instead of living in a way that will leave us begging for a drop of water in eternity, why not make the choices that lead to the pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, as seen in Revelation 22 and verse 1. There will be no regrets for those who live and die in the Lord. Believe me. I know that's all of our hope, that we hear those wonderful words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's why we're here this morning. So this morning, if you're not a Christian, you have a wonderful opportunity to become a Christian by repenting of your sin, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Then you'll be on your way to heaven. Maybe you're a faithful Christian, but you've sinned in a way that others are aware of. You too need to take care of that, and you do that by coming forward after you've repented to God, and let us pray with you and pray for you. We can help anyone make their life right with God. Please come now as we stand and as we sing.